Today we're going to focus on, we probably won't finish, but at least start, details related to how to fill out a ksuba. It's a good idea to have the ksuba filled out in advance of the chasana. When you have yishuv hadas, some people have the style of commissioning fancy ksubas beforehand. Which Rabbi Bleich likes to point out, you hang it on the wall, that's the equivalent of like hanging a life insurance policy on the wall. It's not terribly romantic. But also, when you do that, you're still bound to sometimes make mistakes, and then you come to the wedding and you have this fancy ksuba, which is possible, or at least not ideal, and then you have to write a standard ksuba anyway. But be that as it may, it's preferable to try to fill out the ksuba in advance and still to have a spare copy with blanks handy in case there's a mistake, so that you can fill it out if necessary on the spot. So you should have the standard Nachlas Shiva Nisach of the ksuba in front of you. The ksuba begins with a date. So if you look, you should also have copies of the ksuba from the RCA Madrich, and the checklist is that how to fill in the blanks from the Madrich. So the RCA Madrich is a useful tool to have. There's some mistakes in it. Maybe we'll catch some of them. What do you have?
The page that says
82 on it. Okay, the page that says 82 is the text from the RCA Madrich, and the page that says 83 or 207 or 84 are how you fill in the blanks. So the ksuba begins with the day of the week. The Echad Shab is the Sheni Shab is Shlishi Rvi Chamishi Shishi. Oh, he flagged the mistake here. I don't know if that was Rabbi Bleich or Rabbi Stein. The mistake there in the RCA Madrich, Shishi only has one yud. So that's wrong. We have two yuds here. That's wrong. Shishi has one yud. Fine. So you begin with the day of the week, and then the day of the month. So the way you write the day of the month in a ksuba is the same you write the day of the month in a get. So you have the chart here, days 1 through 30, Yom Echad, Shnei Yomim, Shloshi Yomim. So for the single days, it's the day preceded by Yomim. For the teens, it's Achad Esar Yom, Shnei Esar Yom, Shloshi Esar Yom. And for the 20s, it's Achad Esar Yom, Shnei Esar Yom, etc., which is how you write in the get. And the only tricky one is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, which is why it says in the Seder a get, not to avoid doing Gittin on Rosh Chodesh, because there's a little bit of a machlokas as to how to write it. So our practice is Shloshim. Well, there's a difference between, in a get we write Yerach, and in a ksuba we write Chodesh. So in the ksuba equivalent would be Yom Shloshim L'Chodesh Mar Chodesh Ben Shu Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Shloshim L'Chodesh the previous month, Shu Rosh Chodesh the next month. So in the Seder again, it says to avoid doing Gittin on Rosh Chodesh. As I think I pointed out in the past, in America we're not so accurate about that. It says in the Seder again not to do Gittin on Rosh Chodesh on the whole month of Iyar, because subject whether you write Iyar with 1 year or 2 years, we write Gittin in Iyar. It says not to do Gittin on Erev Shabbos, because if Dayanim are going to be in a rush, you get to give an Erev Shabbos. I'd like to point out that we'll even do a get on Rosh Chodesh Iyar Shechal Yosef Erev Shabbos. So Rapenkin was quoted as saying that in America everything is a shafel chak. So if someone's willing to do a get, who knows what they're going to they change their mind by tomorrow. So get it done when you can. I'm sorry? And Iyar you write with two yuds, and we write Yom Shloshim and a get, Liyarach and a ksuba lechodesh, Marachash van Shu Rosh Chodesh Kislev, or the equivalent. And Erev Shabbos is just a matter of time, so. We discussed last time having a chasen Erev Shabbos. That doesn't say it again, not to do again Erev Shabbos, but we're making on that. And that's just all they're more machber about this. The whole country's closed on Fridays, so they don't do Gittin on Fridays unless it's an emergency. But even there, they do Gittin a Chodesh Iyar, or they don't close up the budget. They already had almost a whole month off for Nissan, so they're not going to take another. Even there, they won't take another month off for a year. But okay, be that as it may. So that's how you write the day of the month. That is noteworthy. So there are two differences here between the standard Lashon and a get, the standard Lashon and a ksuba. The Nachlas Shiva says in a ksuba we write Shnei Yamim, Shlosha Yamim, and again we write Bih. So that's a slightly different convention. I'm not sure what that's based on. So in ksuba we just write Shlosha Yamim, again we write Bih, Shlosha Yamim. And the other difference, I'm sorry? I'm sorry?
The chart, it has bays in it. You said it makes it go beyond the bays.
What do you mean it has bays in it?
You said that had the shame.
No, there's no bays here.
That's the day of the week there.
Right, in the Ksuba we don't write Beis, in the Ger we write Beis. And the other difference is whether you write Yerach or Chodesh. So in the Ksuba we write Chodesh, in the Ger we write Yerach. I just noticed the Otzer Poskim, and the Otzer Poskim in the beginning of Hilchos Ksubas has a section on the Nusach HaKsuba. So he goes over there from the Levush that the default should have been that you write Yerach like you write in a Get, but in the Ksuba we don't write Yerach because you don't want to be Poseach Pela Satan. Because of the pasuk Gerish Yerachim, so there's a connection between Lashon of Gerish and the Lashon of Yerach. So to avoid any such associations, we don't use the word Yerach and again, we write Chodesh. And he also points out that it says it's a Lashon of Chodesh in the context of Nisuin in the Torah. So the pasuk says, Ki kach ish isha chadasha. Chadasha means Lashon Chodesh. So that's why we write Lashon Chodesh and again not Lashon Yerach. Okay. Bila doesn't make. That's the convention. And then we write the day of the month. B'chodesh, how do you write the day of the month? So most of the months are self-explanatory. Mar Cheshvan, we write Mar Cheshvan. There's no such month as Cheshvan. There's only a month of Mar Cheshvan. And there's no such month of Menachem Av. The month is Av. So we write Mar Cheshvan, one word. That's a month. Av is a month as well. We write Adar HaRishon, we write Adar HaShedi. That's how we write months. And then it says Libriyas Olam. So in the RCA Ksuba, that's the fancy RCA Ksuba that you could buy for $15 from the office, on fancy paper, there's a mistake. Oh, it's a mistake in the Madrash too. Missing the word Libriyas Olam. Not sure how that happened. In the fancy RCA Ksuba, if you write small, there's enough of a blank that you can fill in the word Libriyas Olam, but you have to be aware that that is missing. Otherwise, you wouldn't realize. B'di'evit, if you leave out the Bria Solom, so the Yotzer Poskim calls the Nachal Shiva that B'di'evit gets still kosher, but L'chachil we write the Bria Solom. So how that happened that the RCA Madrach and the printed Ksuba left that Bria Solom, I'm not sure, but definitely the L'chachil is that you write the Bria Solom. The reality is that it takes a lot to possible Ksuba. Ksuba is not a get, so most of these things are L'chachilos, but we try to be careful about L'chachilos also. But if you let that be a solem, we generally assume the get would still be kosher. Okay, so that's how you date. The ksuba would still be kosher. That's how you date a ksuba. There is a notion that you have in Hilchos Gittin, which presumably is transposed to Hilchos Ksubas as well, is a toast to muchach. Toast to muchach is if you have a mistake in the document, but it's clear that it's a mistake, and it's clear what the intent was. So let's say, in a get, you were to write, you leave out the Chamesh Asalafim. So instead of 5777, you write 777. So you left out the millennium. I'm sorry? Let's say in a get, you wrote B'Shlisha B'Shava Shlosha Yamim L'Yarech Tammuz Shnas Shvami Yoshiv B'Shava B'Yasalah. So you left out Chamesh Asalafim. So that's a classic example of a Tavs Nemuchach. No one would think that the get's 1,000 years old. If it was 1,000 years old, it would probably be written on klaf, because we stopped using klaf for get in the time of the Taz and Tachvatat. So no one would make the mistake and think that the get is, and no one was living in New York 1,000 years ago, so no one would make the mistake and think that the get was 1,000 years old. So that's called a Taz Nemuchach, where B'di'evit, if you wrote a get that was 1,000 years, off by 1,000 years, it would still be kosher. So the same is presumably true for the Ksuba as well. The culture gets true for Ksuba. Even if you leave out the 100 years, it's presumably a tafsa mukach, not advisable lechachila. But b'diavad, if no one caught the mistake, it would probably still be a kasher exuba. The other important point to just discuss for a moment regarding dating exuba is the position that is most famously attributed to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has a brief paragraph in the Dibros Moshe on Maseches Bava Metzia in the first parak. The Mar Malkam is the first part of the Dibros Moshe in Bava Metzia. I think it's Simin Kaf Ha'aranun Gimel. Simin Kaf Ha'aranun Gimel. Rav Moshe observes that, let's say, you have a not uncommon situation in which the chasen stish, the ksuba, is going to take place and be signed on one day. Let's say you go to a wedding tonight and shkia is at 8:30, and whatever time it's called for, things are running late. So you sign the ksuba at 8 o'clock, and the chuppah doesn't take place until 9 o'clock. So the ksuba is going to be signed on Gimel Tammuz, and the chuppah v'kiddushin is going to take place on Daled Tammuz. So what date do you write on the get? And the ksuba is reflective of the chayvus that the chasen takes upon himself, but it's very strongly connected to the chuppah v'kiddushin. So Rav Moshe thinks in that brief piece, and then he elaborates a little bit in Igros Moshe Evin Ezer Chelek Dalid Simin Kuf. Evin Ezer Chelek Dalid Simin Kuf. I think it's Os Beis. So Rav Moshe thinks that if you're going to write the previous age, you're going to write Gimel Tammuz when the Kiddushin is only going to take place on Daled Tammuz, so potentially that could run into a couple issues. Number one, it's Asi Legavos Min Alekuchos Shelo Kedin. So let's say the real Eschayivus should take place at the time of the Kiddushin. So the Chasin is Mishabit, is Nechasin to the Gvias Aksuba. But if the real Eschayivus is supposed to take place on Daled, and the Shtar is signed Gimel, so then let's say he acquired property on Gimel. So let's say you acquire property on Daled, so then the Lekuchos have no right, or he divested himself of property between Gimel and Daled, so there could be that gap where a person could be Gove Shelo Kedin. So that's one potential issue. And the other potential issue is Nefti Keshikra. You're representing a certain Hischaivus that took place connected to the Kedushin, and the Kedushin hasn't yet taken place, so you're dating it. You're dating it earlier than the chuppah takes place. So Rav Moshe's recommendation in that situation would be, instead of dating it Gimel, you should date it Daled, even if you're signing it on Gimel, because bottom line, that's still a shtar mu'uchar is going to be kasher, a shtar mukdam would be pasul, a shtar mu'uchar would be kasher, because there's no concern of the govim min alekuchos shelo kedin. So that's what Rav Moshe suggests in that brief paragraph in the Dibros Moshe. In Rabbi Bleich's packet of Marmakomos, which I sent you the link to, he has a back and forth between Rav Shlomo Zalman and the author of the Ksuba Kolchasa about how strong a concern this is. The author of the Ksuba Kolchasa, Stern from Bnei Brak, from Rav Avner's Beis Din, is also the author of Geiris Kolchasa, we called in our last series. Shlomo Zalman seems to have taken the position that this is a problem to have a predated Ksuba. And Rav Stern responds that these shouldn't be such problems if you're worried about Gviyam and Elkuchos Shelo Kedin. But bottom line, the chasen is mischayiv whenever he's mischayiv. He takes upon himself the ischayivus even the day before. So he knows he's about to get married, and he's mischayiv in the Ksuba from the day before. That's not a problem. And as far as the Mechti Keshikra, the Ksuba doesn't say explicitly that the Kedushin took place. It says that he obligates himself to support his wife. But there's no explicit reference to the Kedushin. So he doesn't think it's such a problem of Mechti Keshikra. Some Sadri Kedushin, some Rabbanim are machmir to avoid this problem, not to get into the situation of having a ksuba on one day and the chuppah the other day, to try to schedule things so you don't run into this problem. It's not always so easy to do. Rabbi Rum told me that he has reliable information that even Rav Moshe was a machmir for this himself, even though it's pretty clear in the writings of Rav Moshe that he expressed that this is a concern. But Rabbi Rum told me that he was at a Seder Kedushin at one point where Rav David Feinstein was Mesader, and Ksuba was dated the day before, and the Chuppah took place 20 minutes after Shkia, and they wrote the previous day, and there was no Kepedas. And then he asked around a little bit, and people told him, people who know in the Lower East Side, told him that Rav Moshe in personal practice didn't have this chumrah. So definitely, I think the more, if you are in such a situation where the chuppah takes place on the next calendrical day, I think the more common practice is to date the ksuba on the day that it's signed, even if it's the previous day. So. Yeah, you're not. You'd be my wife. So this is part of the process leading up to being my wife. You're not. It doesn't say that he's Mekadosher. So this is part of the process leading up to Kedushin. He says, "Be my wife." Kedas Moshe Yisrael. It's not explicit that there's a Kedushin take place on that day. That's how Rav Stern says it. The other related issue is the old Dekanina problem, that some of the practices is based on early sources. It's not a modern invention, and I think there's a Mara Mintz and earlier Achronim who raised this issue, that if you fill out the Iksuba in advance, you should leave out the word Dekanina or not complete the word Vikanina, because it's referencing a kinyan that hasn't yet taken place. So that's a chumrah hasilei dekula, because it's not uncommon for someone who leaves out Vikanina to forget to put in Vikanina even before you sign it, which would be a bigger problem. So most folks can assume that writing the word Vikanina early is no different than writing the entire Nusach HaTzuba early. This is the document that is going to take effect when it's signed, when there's a Kabbalah's Kinyan, and when you sign it. The fact that nothing takes place, the fact that you drop the contract doesn't mean that the contract is in effect. The fact that you write that there's a Kinyan doesn't mean that the Kinyan took place already. This is the document that's drawn up that will take effect when everything that's referenced in the document happens and there's a Kabbalah's Kinyan and the Edom sign it. So even though there are people that have such a practice to leave out the Kanina, there's much to rely on to write the Kanina in advance when you fill out the rest of the Ksuba and not run into the potential problem of forgetting to include it. Yeah.
The Kanina will be filled in before the Edom sign?
No, you fill it in, you fill everything in before.
No, say for those who fill it in.
For them, they fill it in before the Edom sign, right. Okay. Then the next thing in the ksuba is the place. The minja on a monokan, fill in the blank. So how do you write the location? How do you write the city? So if it's a city that has a kviyas for gittin, you know, Sibin Kuf Kafchas in Evan Ezer, we only write gittin in a place that has a kviyas, where there is an accepted and established way of spelling the city with the naharos and the histapkus and the water sources, etc. There's a whole process for creating a kviyas for gittin. So, but where there's a kviyas for gittin, that's kaveya the way you spell that location. So if the chafin is taking place in the city where there's a kviyas for gittin, so that makes it easy. You write the name of the city the way it's nikba for a get, most of the time. There are some exceptions even to that. So Chicago, for example, in a get, they write Chicago, the Miskari, Chicago, which is the way they used to pronounce Chicago. And in Uksuba, I think they write Chicago, not Chicago. So that's an exception. But generally speaking, you write the location in a Uksuba the way it's written in a get. So if you have a chasana somewhere in the borough of Queens, the kvias for, again, in Queens is Queens, and you don't write the neighborhood, you write, even though at some point you'll probably be at a wedding where there may be a chashiv and the Sadr Kedushin who writes the name of the neighborhood. But the more correct practice is to write, I think the more correct practice is to write Queens, because that's how the kvias is for Gittin. Same thing if you get married in Manhattan, the kvias is New York, so you write New York the way you write it in a get, Nun Vav Al with space Yud Aleph Resh Kuf. If you get married in Brooklyn, you write Brooklyn, you don't write the neighborhood, Beis Resh Vav Kuf Lamed Yunun, because that's how there's a kvias. I think the minhag in the Bronx is that even though in the Bronx we write New York for a get, but for Ksubas, I think people still write Bronx. Beis Resh Aleph Nun Kuf Samach. Bronx is a little bit different. The reason it's different for a get is the Bronx is more closely associated with Manhattan than the other boroughs, even before New York City was incorporated, is back when Brooklyn was still an independent municipality and Staten Island was whatever it was, and Queens was an independent municipality. I'm not sure historically if the Bronx was technically part of the same city as Manhattan. But as Rabbi Sandrovic has a very nice work called Haaretz La'Ra'ah, which is used to be a separate country, Rabbi Sandrovic from Milwaukee, used to be a separate country, now it's appended to his Chuvas Aseh Besamim. So it's a collection of all the cities in the world that have a kvias for Gittin, and a little bit of explanation as to how the kvias was arrived at. So he points out, they're quoting from some of the journals that discussed this in the earlier years, that some of the riots of the fact that the Bronx is more closely associated with Manhattan than the other boroughs is that the street numbers just continue into the Bronx. You keep going north, and then there's no hefsek. You go into, when you go across the East River here, you have the same 170s and 160s in the Bronx. And when you go north into Riverdale, the numbers just keep on going weiter into the 200s. So that's one riot that is really all the same. And the other riot is that people refer to it as the Bronx and not Bronx. Mashma that if not, you know, there's no other city in the world that you refer to as the. And I'm sorry. So again, again, you write New York and Aksuba. I think the common practice is to write Bronx, not the Bronx, in Aksuba. And then he also points out, he quotes those who point out that there's no street that has the same name in both the Bronx and Manhattan. There's no Dublin. So there, you know, there's a 7th Avenue in New York, and there's a 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. How do I know there's a 7th Avenue in Brooklyn? Anyone ever hear of 7th Avenue in Brooklyn? Because more than once, someone who had an appointment at the Bez Din, whose offices are on 7th Avenue in the city, ended up in Brooklyn. So apparently there's a 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. But there's no 7th Avenue in the Bronx. There's no street name that exists both in the Bronx and Manhattan. Okay. I mean, unless it's continuous. Fine, so that's the Bronx. Your Moshe references the Bronx in Chelek Dalet of Ebenezer, Simen Kuf Os Aleph, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Os Aleph. That's the Pikesville Tshuva. Pikesville is technically a different municipality than Baltimore, but it's adjacent to Baltimore, and everyone in Pikesville refers to themselves as being in Baltimore, even though it has its own zip code, a postal office. So Rav Moshe there talks about writing Baltimore in the get, even though Pikesville is an independent municipality. So he has a passing reference there to a similar relationship between New York and the Bronx. Now the Bronx doesn't really have its own identity, even though it has its own borough president and has its own... there is another entity called the Bronx, but it's basically viewed as part of New York. Yeah. I'm sorry? Muncie is Muncie. Muncie has a kvias for Gittin. That was a famous article in the Jewish Observer 30 years ago about... I think about Arya Kaplan wrote the article about how they were Kaveh Muncie forget. Since then, Spring Valley also has a kvias for Gittin. Even though some people in Spring Valley were a little bit skeptical about the kvias, I think the Machon Lahara only writes Gittin in Muncie, not Spring Valley, and they maintain an office in Muncie or something like that. Muncie is a little bit complicated for Gittin because there's colloquial Muncie and there's real Muncie. Real Muncie might be Ramapo, and there isn't that much that's real Muncie. Rabbi Landelsman, the senior dayan in Muncie, told me that he had this conversation with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenevsky and Rav Moshe at the time, and they told him that they should only write Gidin and Munsi in an area that's Munsi L'Choladeus. Munsi L'Choladeus means both as far as census records and postal zip codes and I think tax records. So there are different ways of dividing the neighborhoods. But so basically only the area, there are very few shuls in Munsi proper you can write a get. It's basically between Viola on the north and right off the thruway on the south and Maple and I forget what the western limit is, but it's a relatively small square. The Tamluf Shul is in Munsi L'Choladeus, so it's a small area that's Munsi L'Choladeus. I got married in the atrium. The atrium is on the border between Spring Valley and Munsee. If you're coming to the atrium on 59, you'll see the sign in front of the atrium parking lot entering Spring Valley. So the atrium itself is in Spring Valley, and I think the correct location to reference the Nixuba in the atrium is Spring Valley. That's what it says in my Nixuba. I think Rabbi Eliakim Konigsberg was the third person to have gotten married in the atrium, and it opened in 1990. And then Rabbi Bezalel Radinsky was either the first or the second. So Rabbi Konigsberg at the time did the research, and I think he was one of the first people to do the research to ascertain that it's actually in Spring Valley, not in Munsee, but you'll be at many chasanas in the atrium. I guess it's not as popular as it used to be, but you'll be at chasanas there where the Masada Kedushin writes Munsee. Again, it takes lots of possible ksuba. As long as people view it as Munsi, if you write Munsi, it's also kosher. I got married on a Thursday night, and the chef was in Masada Kedushin. And the previous Thursday night, there was a wedding, the same time, same place, same Masada Kedushin. But I was told that my ksuba we wrote Spring Valley, and the ksuba the week before, same Masada Kedushin, they wrote Munsi. So I guess Rosh Shafter didn't think it was enough of a capacity to make an issue of. Over there's. I was at a chasana not long ago where they wrote Munsi in the ksuba, and the father of the kala came over to me at the chasana tish and said, I know it's not really Munsi, but it wasn't worth making a fight over. So he was right, not worth making a fight over. But you have to be at least somewhat familiar with the principles of transliteration, which are the convention, how we transliterate the Lo-Azi names, Ashkenazi convention. If you have a city that doesn't have a kvias, so it's always a good idea to talk to the local rabbanim there. They may have a accepted practice as to how to write the name of the location in a ksuba. Otherwise, you have to figure out based on the standard principles of transliteration, and it's a good idea to ask someone who has more bikias in these matters or more experience with the conventions of transliteration. So that's I get questions all the time about how to spell certain cities for purposes of a ksuba. Some cities that have a kvias for gittin were nikba at a time where there were slightly different ways of transliterating. In some of the older cities, nowadays we would never do a double consonant, but in previous periods, some cities have a double consonant. So the kvias for pesach in a get is pei aleph samach samach ayin yud kuf. Pei aleph samach samach, double consonant, SS, ayin yud kuf. I don't think you'll find any shul in Passaic that knows how to spell Passaic, and all the invitations that we get in the mail, it's very rare that anyone actually knows how to spell Passaic properly. In fact, there are four cities on the Passaic River that have a kvias for gittin: Fairlawn, Patterson, Newark, and Passaic. All four of them, Passaic River is spelled differently. The Passaic and the river spelled differently, but the kvias for the Passaic city is Peyal Samasamich Ayin Yerkov. I think when Rabbi Bleich gave his Ishus shir and he spent a lot of time on principles of transliteration, I'm not going to spend time on that now, but you should, if something comes up, then you'll ask the right people how you spell a location. What about writing the state? So in the RCA Ksuba, there's just a blank. So here there's a range of opinion as to whether and when you should include the name of the state. So Rabbi Willig is a minimalist here. Rabbi Willig thinks that you never really need to, or you shouldn't include the name of a state. You should write the Medina as New York, unless it's a city that exists in multiple states and people are aware of the fact that it exists in multiple states. So I think there is a...
Portland.
I'm sorry?
Portland,
right, maybe Portland. But even a place like Brooklyn, so there are other Brooklyns in other states. Miami, there's a Miami in Ohio, I think. But no one ever heard of Miami in Ohio, even though there's a university there, I think. But no one ever heard of, or even, I think Rabbi Willig pointed out, I'm sorry? The municipal boundaries around Camp Morasha changed in the last few years. When in my time it was in Lake Como, now apparently it's in Lakewood. Some of Lakewood, Pennsylvania, encroached into Lake Como. So even though there have been weddings in Morasha Kolo, at least one that I was at, but most people don't associate Lakewood with Lake in Pennsylvania. So even though there is a Lakewood, Pennsylvania, most people associate Lakewood in New Jersey. So you wouldn't write the state. Portland's probably a good example of a city that exists, a significant city that exists in two states, and you wouldn't know whether it's Maine or Oregon unless you identified it. Rosh Schechter is more inclined to include the name of the state, at least if it's a lesser known city. So maybe Brooklyn, so everyone knows Brooklyn's New York, so maybe you wouldn't have to write the Medina's New York, but any mid-sized city, Rosh Schechter is more inclined to include the state as a further form of identification. In the Sefer Ksuba Kol Chasa, Perek Hei HaAravav, he writes that he heard from Rav Vosner, who heard from the Chazon Ish, that the correct way to, in Bnei Brak, Zichron Meir is one of the neighbors of Bnei Brak, so he would write Zichron Meir Bnei Brak in a Ksuba. So he'd write the neighborhood and the city, and the Ksuba Kol Chasa, please, that was a Sarach Yikant, and why you'd write it that way. And he writes in the footnote, in New York also, people write Brooklyn, New York. So people do a lot of things, but I'm not sure Brooklyn, New York is correct. I mean, either you write Brooklyn, Medina's, New York. There's no Brooklyn, New York. You either write Brooklyn or you write Brooklyn, Medina's, New York. Brooklyn, New York doesn't exist. Although, if that representation of the Chazon Ish is correct, then maybe Zirchon Meir B'nei Brak is the same thing as Brooklyn, New York. There used to be a practice which has largely... and correctly fallen into disuse. This is something that I think you still find more in conservative with a capital C Ksubos, but it's something that used to be a lot more widespread, which is the language in a Ksuba of whatever the city is, Bimedinas America Hatzvonis, in North America. So that's perplexing where that came from. And even nowadays, you sometimes see a Ksuba that has... the Medina's America at Tzvonis. Ramosha addresses this in a tshuva. Evan Ezer Chelik Dalid Simen Kuf Oth Beis. Evan Ezer Chelik Dalid Simen Kuf Oth Beis. So he writes that there is some Misadri Kedushin who write in the Ksuba after the name of the city, the Medina's America at Tzvonis, Vadehu Tos. That if they want to use it as a Simen, because maybe they'll think there's another Brooklyn somewhere, so I write Brooklyn, the Medina's New York. Because every state is its own entity, but a continent isn't a simon at all. There's no you're writing Brooklyn in North America, not to confuse it with the Brooklyn in China. So that that doesn't make any sense. He says it doesn't passel. Again, it takes a lot to passel Ksuba, but it's pointless. And he says it doesn't make any sense to write the county, because people don't use that as an identifying location. And he acknowledges that there were places, the Beis Shmuel quotes, where they would use Bendina and a get. So it's not sure exactly what Medina meant in that context. Maybe in Germany or in those lands, there were different areas under the control of some duke or some official, and they had their own governance. And each one wanted to refer to himself as not just the king of a city, but the king of Medina. So that was the usage of Medina. Okay, but if someone ever requests that you fill out a ksuba that says Medina Samarkastonis, just tell them that it's not a good idea. And at this point in history, if people would say it, they'd probably think you're a conservative rabbi or very old school. Okay, then we go on to the name of the chassam. Eich, blank, Amr la lahada, basulta, blank. So you'll notice in the suba there are a number of blanks for the name of the chassan and the kala. The convention is that the first and last times that the chassan and kala's name appear, you write ploni ben ploni. And in the middle, the various references to the chassan in the middle, you only write his name and not his father's name. That's the convention in Aksuba. It wouldn't possible if you wrote Ben Ploni the rest of the time, but it's not necessary, and it's not the way it's done. If you're a Kohen, so then you write Ruvain or Levi Ben Yaakov HaKohen, but you include a Kohen as well in the mill references for the name of the Chassan. So if it's Levi Ben Yaakov HaKohen, so you write in the first and last time the chassan's name appears, Levi ben Yaakov HaKohen, and then in the middle you write Levi HaKohen. If you're to leave out HaKohen, then you may get the misimpression that the chassan is not a Kohen. How do you have a chassan that's not a Kohen if his father's a Kohen? It's a Cholo. So if you left out the HaKohen, then you may be under the misimpression that he's a Cholo. Ramosha Fachuva Chela Gimel Evan Ezra Simon Kavav Chela Gimel Evan Ezra Simon Kavav. A woman where they wrote in the Ksuba that her father was a Levi because they asked her father and her father said he's a Levi. Okay. And now much time has passed and they're holding by opinion of Ben and Bas Levi doesn't make opinion of Ben. And now the father's having second thoughts that, well, maybe he's not really Levi, he's not sure. And they check the father's ksuba, and there it doesn't say that he's a Levi. So the Shaila Moshe was asked was, if you wrote Levi incorrectly, does the apostle look ksuba? He thought he was a Levi, and then he determined that he wasn't a Levi. Does the apostle look ksuba to have the title of Levi if he wasn't really a Levi? So Moshe first points out, the fact that they didn't write Levi in the father's ksuba isn't proof positive that he's not a Levi, because maybe they didn't do the proper research, or maybe they didn't know, or maybe they found something else afterwards. And Moshe says that you shouldn't take at face value if a non-religious person claims that he's a Levi, or a Kohen for that matter, but have no real active knowledge if that's the case, so you shouldn't rely on the representation in and of itself, especially if it's someone who never went to shul, and he never washed the Kohanim's hands before duchening, and he never got an aliyah as a Levi. So the fact that someone who has no connection to anything comes forward and says he's a Levi, so you shouldn't rely on his representation if there's no evidence to back it up, and he never did anything to be maxed himself as a Levi. But maybe he still is a Levi. The fact that we can't prove it doesn't mean it's not true. And Malo Lashaker, so let's assume he really believed he was a Levi at the time. But bottom line, Ramosha writes that even if we come to an absolute determination that he was in fact not a Levi, and the Levi title was used totally in error, nevertheless, he points out that that doesn't passel a shtar. Nikra Din. There's a Gemara in Gittin that sounds that way. And even though in a get we'd be machmir, that if we wrote Halevi in error, we'd be machmir to redo the get, but in a ksuba, you shouldn't apostle it for that reason. So he says, in this case, so long as there's a suffix, whether the guy really was a Levi or not, maybe Taka is a Levi, we just can't prove it one way or another, so leave everything alone. And if you determine, let's say, with some degree of definitiveness, that he really wasn't a Levi, so in the Ikar Adin, the Ksuba should be kosher, but L'Chachila, it's better to redo it so that you shouldn't have a document that includes Sheker. And then Rav Moshe has another suggestion. Maybe rather than redo the document, if there's some space on the bottom, you could write the following. You could write an addendum. The reason, Basher Shekasavnu, Baksuba, Shehibas Levi, Machmas, Shesamachnu, Aldivre Avia, Sharashayin, Laptom, Vinodano, Ato, Sheino Levi, Lechain, Kosvin, and Afnu, Lechosim, Alze, Sheino Levi, Baksubi, Leponis, Basponi, Kosu, Baksuba. So you should write an addendum on the bottom that we wrote Levi because we were under misimpression, but the ksuba is still the same ksuba for this person, and he wasn't a Levi, but all the hiskaivios referenced in the ksuba are still binding. But maybe that's not such a good idea, because if they're not going to be the same edim, so then it may be like Trey or Trey. So he thinks, bottom line, it's better just to redo the ksuba, to not get into that issue. Okay? So we said the reason that you write HaKohen even in the middle references to Chassan is to avoid the appearance that he may be a Chalal. So let's say we know, let's say Tak is a Chalal. So how do you write the name of a Chalal in a Ksuba? We've had this on rare occasion in the context of Gittin. How do you write the name of a Chalal in a Get? So, I spoke to Rav Nata about this once. Rav Nata told me that in his recollection, this was a conversation a few years ago, but at the time he told me that in his recollection, in his 60 years of being Mesader Gittin, he only came across a Chalal that he knew to be a Chalal twice. And in those cases, he wrote, Ploni HaChalal ben Ploni HaKohen. Ploni HaChalal ben Ploni HaKohen. Which Rabbi Felder of the Nachal Svi quotes such a suggestion from Rav Meir Arik. Our practice, what we've done in the Beis Din, when we've had such situations of known Chalalim, is to just leave out HaKohen entirely. So you write Ploni ben Ploni. So you're not identifying him. It's a very strange. The get is Lashon Habal. So a person, usually, I mean, we've discussed that sometimes a person may want to be a chal if he wants to marry a woman that's suula kohen. But the default is that a chalal should be a source of, being a chal be a source of embarrassment. So it's a little bit curious that you write in a get, which is lashon habal, such a description as chalal, that I, so-and-so the chalal, am the garish you. So what we've done in the Bezin is to leave out a kohen entirely. So even if his father's a kohen, he's a chalal, just leave out a kohen entirely. The other suggestion, I think I discussed this with Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yaakov in Tel Aviv once, so he told me that there they would write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen, like you'd write for any other Kohen, and even though there's no indication from that Lashon that the fellow is a Chalal, they just make a notation in the Ptur that he's a Chalal. It could be the best thing is to just leave that a Kohen entirely. And it's probably the better course of action in a suba as well. Yeah. Because then you could do that, but then there's no indication. Meaning, the mashmos of that is that he is a kohen. So in a get, you get out of that by a notation of tour. In a suba, there's no notation. I mean, there's no parallel document to Ptur with the Ksuba. The Ksuba is a document of record. So you couldn't get out of that problem as easily with the Ksuba. You know, right. Despite that, she was just quoted by Rav Moshe of adding an addendum on the bottom. We don't usually add addendums on the Ksuba. And well, what do you gain by doing that? It's on the same document anyway, so you might as well...
you don't have to read
all that anyway. Whatever... what's relevant is what it says, not what you read. There's all these situations that we'll talk about where there's something less than favorable in the Ksuba, so you don't read it out loud.
Those are the issues of embarrassing.
I'm sorry?
I mean, the issue is embarrassing.
The issue is embarrassing to the person, right. So if you don't read it out loud, then there's no public embarrassment, and you don't hang it on your wall, which you shouldn't do anyway, then it's a private document that the wife keeps in her drawer, and no one ever has to look at it unless there's some bezdin matter that requires looking at the ksuba, in which case they should know what the story is. What about writing Shem Mishpacha in a Ksuba? What about writing the last name? So again, we never write a last name. But what about writing a last name in a Ksuba? What would the reason to do it be? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Ayin Ches. Where he addresses the possible concern of Shnei Yosef B'Shimon Ba'ir. So if you have a big city, so let's say the chassan is Reuven Ben Yaakov, so there's probably more than one Reuven Ben Yaakov in the city, and you wouldn't want to be a source of confusion that we don't know the actual identity of the chassan. So you could avoid that by writing a Shem Mishpacha, and then the Shem Mishpacha is an additional simen to narrow down the identity of the chassan. So Moshe thinks that not only are you allowed to write a Shem Mishpacha, but in a big city there's a maila and a defense to do so, to avoid the problem of Shnei Yosef and Shimon Ba'ir. It says the way to write it is L'chachila Chaim Ben Yaakov L'Mishpachas Goldman, as opposed to Chaim Ben Yaakov Goldman. Because the name's not, the Goldman is the last name, it's not part of the name, even though it wouldn't possible if you did it that way. So you should write L'Mishpachas. Rav Moshe writes about this as well in Or Chaim, Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Os Kaf. Or Chaim, Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Os Kaf. Moshe thinks here that the Edom also should write the Shem Mishpacha. So in the Arch in Madrich it has the Mishpachas. Rav Schechter is a proponent of including the Shem Mishpacha. I'm pretty sure that that was the Rav's practice to include the Shem Mishpacha, write the Mishpachas. And I think Rav Schechter thinks that the Edom should sign the Mishpachas also. And Rabbi Willig is more of a minimalist. He thinks that you should not include the Shem Mishpacha, neither for the Edom, nor for the Chasen and Kala. You don't know how to spell the Shem Mishpacha properly, even though, again, it's probably not going to pass, however you spell it. He doesn't think it's necessary. If it's not necessary, then you're better off without. So Rav Schachter is a proponent of including the Shem Mishpacha. Rabbi Willig is not a fan of the Shem Mishpacha. You've had to gotten confused in the past if you're asked to sign a ksuba. You have to remember who the Masada Kedushin is to remember whether you should include your Shem Mishpacha in the Chasim or not. Yeah.
Also, if you're in nature, you just always ask Masada Kedushin because.
Yes, a good idea to ask the Masada Kedushin. But sometimes the Masada Kedushin does it. Right, also, Rabbi Willig points out that if you're, it's a good idea for the Masada Kedushin, we haven't gotten to Aedis yet, but it's a good idea for the Masada Kedushin, unless it's a professional aid, to ask the aid to practice signing his name before signing the Ksuba, because some people are not as proficient in signing their name, so you have to make sure they know to sign their name, and otherwise... you have matters to redo the ksuba. So that's a good idea to give them a piece of paper and have them sign in advance of signing it for real. What name do you include in the ksuba? Michael?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara does have in Gittin that some of the Amarayim would sign with a fish or some other sign, but we don't do that. We write Ploni ben Ploni. Ploni ben Ploni, I'm sorry?
This is the Ploni signature.
Yes.
Yes, but then it's full name in cursive, like what do you mean?
Cursive as opposed to Ksav Ashuris? And again, we sign in Ksav Ashuris, and any other star we sign in regular script. If you sign in Ksav Ashuris, it'd probably be kosher. But most people don't know how to sign in Ksav Ashuris. If anyone wants to learn how to sign in Ksav Ashuris, we can always use a couple extra aid in the roster. You can let me know. So what name do you use in the Ksuba? So usually people have a Jewish name, so you use the Jewish name, even though in a situation in which a person has a Jewish name from birth, even if they don't generally use it, the most common practice is to include an ksuba, even if we wouldn't include it in a get, because the standards for getting ksuba may be different. But if a person knows what his Jewish name from birth is, even if he doesn't use it so much, then you write... then you write the Jewish name in the ksuba. Sometimes the person doesn't have a Jewish name, so if he doesn't have a Jewish name, then you write the name that he goes by. So there's no, it would be, some people have this notion of assigning a Jewish name to people who don't have Jewish names. So that creates more problems than it solves. Because if a name is in Muksak, so that could itself pass the ksuba. Moshe talks about this in Chelek Aleph in the Dalet. If a person is just assigned a name, it could be you need 30 days to be mastered the name. So if you're going to assign them a Hebrew name that they never used, or they never really had a Hebrew name, and someone said, oh, your name should be this, and it was never used, so then that could potentially pass the ksuba. You should use English name, and you should translate it with English name using the proper conventions of transliteration. Yeah.
That happens usually if someone doesn't have a Jewish name?
It happens not infrequently, especially... Yeah, I mean, it happens more than it did a generation ago because there are more people who are further removed from Judaism. It definitely happens. It happens more with Russians. Many Russians a generation ago didn't have Hebrew names or Jewish names. So then that happens not infrequently. What do you do if the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish? So in Hilchos Gittin, in Simen Kuf Kaf Tes If Tes, Simen Kuf Kaf Tes If Tes, in Mechaber Paskins, that in the Ikar Adin, if you leave out the shame of the Abal, or the shame of the Ishin Aget, it's kosher. So the implication there is there are situations where you would leave out the shame of the Abal. So if the... According to that, it could be that if the father is if the father of the Megarish is not Jewish, then you just write his name and not include the name of a parent. However, the Dagul Mirvavadir on the side of Shulchan Aruch says that the better practice is to write the mother's name. Like Mari Barachel. Mari Barachel was a Rasa Shalav Kedusha, Validas of Kedusha. His father wasn't Jewish. So Mari Barachel is known as Mari Barachel, known by his mother's name. So that's our standard practice in Gittin, that if the Megaresh or the Miskaresh is the product of a Jewish mother and non-Jewish father, then we write the name of the Jewish mother. If it's a shtuki, if we don't know who the father is at all, in this case, we know who the father is and he's not Jewish. Let's say we don't know who the father is at all. A classic shtuki. So then you don't write anything. Then you just write the, assuming that we don't know who the father is, then you just write the name of the Megaresh and the Miskareshes, and you don't write the father or the mother.
So you just like
Ruven. Even if we know who the mother is, but to identify him as a shtuki, then you don't write the name of any parent. So that should follow. You should do the same thing in Ksuba also. It should follow that in Ksuba also you would write the name of the mother and not the name of the father. There is another suggestion that's quoted in some of the Svarim, in the Ksuba Kolchasiyas is from some Svarim, to write the name of the maternal grandfather. So you'd write Moshe ben Avi Imo Yaakov. So you write the name of the chassan, the son of his grandfather. So probably more correct, absent any sensitivities, to include the name of the mother. Sometimes there are sensitivities. So where there are sensitivities, you can sometimes solve the sensitivity by just not reading it, or by the strategic cough, or swallowing the words, or just not saying it, or reading something else. But where that's not possible, so there is this other suggestion of including the writing the name of the maternal grandfather instead of the mother. And referencing it as a V-Emo. Now, to write Ben Avram Avinu is wrong, because it's not a ger. So then that would incorrectly identify this person as a ger, so that we can't do. But these are the two suggestions out there. Either you write the mother's name the way you do in a ger, or you write the maternal grandfather's name. Okay, this will stop here. It looks like, I mean,